for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, July the 3rd, 2009. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the law of sowing and reaping.
Lord, we come before your throne. We praise you, mighty God. What a mighty, awesome God you are. Your wonderful counselor, almighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You're Alpha, the Omega, the Rose of Sharon, the Bright and Morning Star. And Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor that you know exactly what you want. So we bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I ask you that I be a tree of life, that rivers of living water come forth from my innermost being. Father, I pray that my tongue will be as choice silver. The teaching of the wise, Lord, is a tree of life that one may avoid the snares of death. And so, God, in the name of Jesus, I just praise you, bless you, glorify you, honor you. Thank you that I've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Lord, I take my seat in the heavenly places. I take the keys you've given me to bind and loose. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take the Kratos, the dunamis power, the exousia power, the authority that you've given me, the keys to the kingdom. And Lord, I bind Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. And I forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against me, this meeting, anything that concerns us, the saints over the earth, every person at this meeting in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I thank you for the warfare, Lord. Lord, I thank you that our weapons are not worldly, but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds. And we smash down every stronghold, every demon power that's trying to block this meeting, hinder this meeting in Jesus' name. Everything you do in life, every thought, every word, every deed, there's a sowing into your spiritual garden. You first started getting sowed generationally. There was a generational sowing through the sins of the forefathers. There was also good things sown into your spiritual garden. One of the things that was a gift to me was I had a grandfather, not my daddy, but my daddy's daddy, that you could start reading the Bible and he could quote the whole chapter. And that was a gift that he passed on to me. My son has that gift and my granddaughter has that gift. And probably my grandson or my other granddaughter. I'm not sure about them, but Kylie's got the gift, the oldest granddaughter. So that's a good inheritance that you pass on. I had two great grandfathers that were Baptist preachers, and they passed on good things to me. I also had a pervert, at least one pervert in the generations who got my great-great-grandfather pregnant out of my great-great-grandmother pregnant out of wedlock. And she gave him her maiden name because this man that got her pregnant was a married man. He was 28 years old and she was 16. So there was child molestation. There was adultery. There was an illegitimate curse. And this illegitimate son was just a stinker. He almost tried to kill his grandfather. And his son married his cousin, which was my grandfather's mother and daddy were cousins. So you see, incest. It's a wonder I even have a brain. So you see the things that were sown into my spiritual garden even through the generations. And for us to overcome, we have to pull up all the weeds that are growing in our spiritual garden. There's good plants, there's bad plants.
God says not to sow good seed among the bad seed because the bad seed will destroy the good seed. That's what the Word says in Deuteronomy or in Leviticus. I believe it's Leviticus 19. We'll see if we can find it. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Amen. Yes, finally. 19. Well, I don't know if I can find that. Let's see. Let's try Deuteronomy. If not, I'll just tell you what it says. I don't think I've ever experienced as much warfare as I have this message, so it must be the best one and the most healing and delivering of all of them. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you what it says. It says, don't sow good seed in with the... don't sow bad seed in with the good seed because the bad seed will defile the good. And you know, if you're a spiritual garden and you're sitting in front of horror movies, you know what's getting planted in your garden? And those seeds are going to produce fruits of fear. Right? If there's molestation and perversion in the bloodline, then there's been seeds of that been planted in your spiritual garden, and that's producing fruit. Leviticus 19? I thought it was 19:19. Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate, Lord, your Holy Spirit, the way you just help everybody help me. Let's see. Leviticus 19:19. We won't turn there. You just can mark that down. And so I've learned to look at the fruit. Whatever the fruit is, if it's good fruit, you don't want to pull it up, right? There's been things that you've inherited from your forefathers that were good. There's sicknesses and diseases that you've inherited from your forefathers that's not good. Like in my family, one of the bad things that runs in the generation is macular degeneration of the eyes, cataracts, glaucoma, blindness. And the Bible says he sent his word to heal me. Not folks, but he sent his word to heal me. And so when I got that bad report, I've been repenting for years and years over eye scriptures and had gone through all the eye scriptures probably 5 or 6 or 10 years ago to try to avoid getting a bad eye report. And so when I got a bad eye report last year, I decided not to go the world's way. I decided to go the Bible way, which says he sent his word to heal me. And so when I went back to the optometrist, he actually gave me back my glasses from 2 years ago. So my eyes had improved. Now, the way I look at it, my whole family were blind, trusting doctors. So I know that don't work. So I decided to trust the Lord. Because at the end of my lifetime, if I trusted the doctors and was blind, then I'd be very sad. But if I trusted the Lord and he chose for me to be blind, then I wouldn't want to be, but I could say hallelujah. I wouldn't have any regrets trusting the Lord. But there's negative things that have been planted in your spiritual garden, and there's good things, bad things and good things that have been planted in your spiritual garden. How many of you know that if you have, if you've had a garden, you don't have to take care of the weeds, do you? The weeds will overcome the good things, and it says that in Leviticus 19:19. Don't sow a bad seed in with the good because the bad will defile or corrupt the good. And so when you expose yourself to pornography, or you expose yourself to even watching movies, you know, the Word of God is seed. Y'all may think I'm just real fanatic, but the Word of God is seed, and words are seed. And you sit in front of a TV, you sit in front of movies, and they're planting seeds in your spiritual garden that's going to produce something. If this is seed and words are seed, there's a negative planting that comes in through what you set before your eyes. The Bible says don't set any unclean thing before your eyes. And so the law of sowing and reaping says you plant one seed, a grain of corn, or you plant a bad seed or a good seed. The law of sowing and reaping says you get more, you get later than you sow, more than you sow, and the same thing you sow. The scripture says in First Galatians, I believe it's Galatians 6. Turn there, please. Galatians chapter, let me find it, chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap life eternal. The Bible says the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. Many of you are praying for lost children that are into all kinds of stuff. You see, whatever you did after you became a Christian, whatever you did before you became a Christian, what you did is you sowed something that's producing in your children. Are y'all hearing me? So if you look at your children, what you can't stand about their, what they're doing, and start forgiving them for what you did. You see, Bible says that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. There's many things that we've done before we were Christians that we never told God we were sorry for. So God lets this little kid, this little turkey, or this big kid, or this 40-year-old kid, he lets us, he's mirroring what we did that we didn't tell God we're sorry for. And you say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, it could have applied to your husband. If your husband's not taking accountability for what he did, the law of sowing is continuing, and that husband is reaping through that child. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And whenever you take accountability, it stops that reaping. And then they're free to choose, but it won't be because you're reaping what you sowed. I've seen instances where this one man called me and he said, my daughter's on drugs, she's on alcohol, she lies, she steals, she's sleeping around. And I said, have you ever done that? He said, oh, dear God, she's just like me. I did all those things. And then another lady said, pray for my daughter, said she's getting ready to marry a Hindu, and she's a Christian. I said, did you ever do anything like that? She said, no. Oh, my goodness, she said. I was going to the University of Mexico City, and I was in love with a bullfighter. And I just decided that I was going to marry him and chunk America and chunk my mother and dad. And I had forgotten. I told this lady I'd pray for her. And it was a meeting that Joyce Green had. I called Joyce and said, Joyce, I forgot that lady's name, her daughter's name. I told her I'd pray for her, and I forgot the name. Joyce said, you don't even have to pray for her. I said, the daughter's already repented when the mother repented. You see, something was broken in the spirit. And so many of us grieve over relationships, over our children that are wayward, and they're just doing what we did. And so God says we have to confess our sin. And when we do, we break things off our children in the spirit. And so look at the fruit, and you want to trace the fruit to the root. You don't have to take care of the good plants. But in deliverance, you're pulling up the weeds, and God plants something in the place of it. Hallelujah. Go to Hosea, please, chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10 says, in verse 12, so with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. So what it's saying is begin to plant seeds that are going to produce righteous things, like what you give others, how you treat others. You know, many of the people that are into nickels, dimes, and noses, they use scripture about sowing. They use it always as money. But it is money, true, but it's also love, hatred, bitterness. Whatever you do is going to come back to you and bite you, right? And you say, well, you know, I need a new set of circumstances. I need a new mate. I need a new environment. I need a new situation. And wherever you go, you take yourself. Is that right? Wherever you go, your reaping follows you. So if you had a different set of circumstances, it wouldn't be when the honeymoon was over or whatever. It'd be the same situation you're in, only it'd be worse. So I've learned to just work it out and overcome where I'm at. And I don't want to go around the mountain again. How you trained up is how life goes until you get delivered. And so what it really bothers you up here in the present is the same thing that bothered you in childhood that you didn't deal with. And God lets people mirror what He's trying to change in you. Amen? And when somebody, I had a relationship the other day. Well, I'll just share honestly with you. I pray that my children never get this tape. And even if they do, it's a lesson they need to learn. Amen? But I had sensed for a long time my granddaughter and my daughter-in-law, I sensed in the spirit that I was being shut out. And it was hurting my heart. And as I began to pray, and this has been going on for a long time, as I, in fact, my daughter-in-law said, you know, we really don't like to be around you. This is one day when she blew up and I blew up and we had a blow up. And we've had three blow ups in about 27 years. We've had three blow ups. We get along. We basically get along good. But we had this blow up and I have felt things from her from years. I have felt stuff. You know, the Bible says a relationship with your daughter-in-law is a hard relationship, right? And so I was out praying one morning, and I've been seeking the Lord. Instead of thinking, Lord, look what she's doing. I was saying, okay, Lord, why am I feeling this way? What have I done? What do I need to repent of? And Jim Landry, last time he was down here, taught a message on expectations. And I didn't really get delivered at the camp, but I was sitting on the porch, and what the Lord showed me, I began, when my son was 12 years old, I began to pray for Mrs. Kyle Neese. And I prayed for the perfect woman. Right? I prayed that, I had all this list of whatever in my mind was she needed to be. Godly, and she does love the Lord. But, and then my granddaughter, she's 22, not yet 23, and I've prayed for her for 37 years. And I've prayed for her descendants for 37 years. And I've prayed for the mates of my descendants for 37 years. And Kylie just got married, and she married a godly man. Both of them had kept themselves pure, which is a miracle nowadays. Absolute miracle. They dedicated their marriage to the Lord. They both love the Lord. Their mothers and fathers love the Lord. And I prayed for years that God would give her the most spiritual man on earth her age. And I told him, he said, you have some big shoes to fill. But anyway, and so what the Lord showed me is when you pray for somebody for 37 years and they're 22 and your daughter-in-law has been married to your son for 27 years and you've been praying 37 years, you have some expectations. Is that right? And so you don't realize you're doing this, but in your heart, you are critiquing everything they do. So that's why they don't want to be around you. And when the Lord showed me that, I repented. And it healed the whole relationship. Everything changed when I repented. You know, I could have said, you know, I could have blamed them for everything, and I could have been a bitter old woman, and I could have stayed hurt. But I dealt with the logs that were in my eyes. And it healed the relationship. So everybody's got difficult relationships. And so to heal those relationships, Jesus said, you hypocrite, you first get the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly how you will get the log out of someone else's eye. And it totally changed the relationship. My granddaughter, who's 22, you know, I prayed the Lord would create a little girl for His glory. And all of these years, I have felt her, you know, even though she loved the Lord, when she was little, boy, she was preaching. But as she got older, when I would mention something, I just quit mentioning it because I could just sense she was resisting that because I had that expectation over her life. What a heavy thing to put on somebody. Anyway, so day before yesterday, now I haven't got 18 emails in a whole year. Last week, she kept emailing me, wanting me to come spend the night with her, wanting me to come when she moves to Florida in her new home, wanting me to come. And then one email said, Grandmother, I love you so, so, so much. Grandmother, I will always love you forever and ever and ever. I hope you know that. You see, when we repent, God changes things. Through everything you're going through, God is mirroring something He wants to teach you. He's not He's got for the turkeys in your life. He's got something He wants to teach them. But you're only accountable for you. And when you get the logs out of your eyes, you'll see clearly how to get the specks out of other people's eyes. And so I'm learning to look at the fruit and ask God, Lord, what are you trying to show me through this? What are you trying to teach me? So it's saying here in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, he's saying, sow with a view to righteousness. In other words, everything you do, say, how you act, sow with a view into your spiritual garden and then into the gardens of other people that'll produce righteousness. There's a scripture that says in Job, he who plows iniquity and sows trouble will harvest it. And I'm sorry I don't have the references, but I just knew the scriptures. And so it says, break up your fallow ground. In other words, plow up your garden. You know, there's different kinds of soil, isn't there? In the parable of the sower goes out to sow the word, and it says some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and took the seed. And then it says in the second type of soil that it was sown on hard ground. Now, if you've ever had a garden and tried to plant something on hard ground, it doesn't work, does it? Or if something springs up and you keep the ground wet and you sowed it on hard ground, it'll spring up, and the minute the sun hits it, it'll go shh, because it has no root, right? But if you go out there and dig around it and prop some more dirt around it and water it, it'll make it. If you don't do that and you let it every day you go out there and you water it, you miss one day and you go out there and it's dead. And that's a picture of somebody receiving Jesus with joy, but because their heart is hard, they bear no fruit for righteousness. And then it talks about a third type of soil that is sown among thorns. The seed is sown among thorns, and it says the worries, the cares, the pleasures, the riches, and the desire for other things choke out the word. And then it talks about the fourth soil that's that good sandy loam. And I used to live in Lavernia, Texas, and you could plant anything and put water on it, and I'm telling you, it'd spring. You could plant a tree, and you'd have it. In fact, I had a huge redbud tree that came up just from one seed that fell into my flower bed. And so God is wanting us to break up our fallow ground, this ground that's laid waste and become hard. In other words, it's like a stony heart. It's a hardness of heart. You know, every time that God tries to speak to you, if you say, no, God, no, God, no, God, you're hardening your heart toward Him. But the Bible says if you delight in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And that means make your heart soft, tender, and pliable. That's what delighting in the Lord does. That means every time God says something, you hop. You obey. And so God is telling us to break up the hardness of our heart, to get the weeds out of the heart. Don't sow among thorns. Another place says don't sow among thorns. It says that in Jeremiah, if you sow among thorns. And so God is telling us to break up the fallow ground, plow it up. And it says, for it's time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness on you. It says, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped injustice, you have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way, in your numerous warriors. In other words, you've trusted after your idols. And you know, we think that we don't have idols because we don't live in China and worship Buddhas. Our idols is you've got to love me, you've got to meet my needs, you've got to talk to me, you've got to communicate with me. Your idol is whatever pushes your button and makes you mad. It's connected to a hot wire. And anger and fear, see, wherever there's an idol, there's fear and there's anger. Wherever you have fear and you have, it's linked to idolatry, wherever there's fear, you have a fear you won't, if you have an idol, you have a fear you won't get it if you don't have it, and if you have it, you fear you'll lose it. And so God is telling us to not trust in our idols. Then it goes on to say at the very, in verse 14, I want to read the 14 says, and Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh, but I will come over her neck, Ephraim's neck. And it says her because Ephraim is the type of the church. You and I and men are going to be the bride of Christ. And so he's referring to the church here as Ephraim. And it means, Ephraim means double fruit, fruit for the Lord and fruit for the devil. And so I'm going to come over her neck with a yoke. And of course, if you read in Deuteronomy 28:48, it's a yoke of iron. You know, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. Right? So we have a choice to wear the yoke of Jesus, cast our burden on the Lord, come under his control, because it's a picture of coming under the control of Jesus and wearing his yoke, which is a type of control. Or you can get another yoke, which is a curse in Deuteronomy 28, because of disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments. He'll put a yoke of iron on your neck to cause you to serve your enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness, the Bible says, and the lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until you're destroyed. Now that's the opposite of Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So Ephraim loves to thresh. Now he's a picture of double fruit. He's a picture of a what the world would call, or the worldly church would call, a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is just lost. Hello. We used to think it was carnal Christian. We used to think it was lost and spirit-filled. Can I tell you it's just lost and saved? And so Ephraim loves to thresh. And that word thresh in the Hebrew means Ephraim loves to make his garden harder. He don't plow it up. He tramps it down. Threshing means he likes to tramp his garden down, make it hard. But then it goes on to say, and I will harness Ephraim. Judah will plow and Jacob will harrow. That means to Judah plows and Jacob takes something and smooths out the clods. Levels the dirt. That's what that means. And so the way we plow up the fallow ground is to praise. Judah means praise, right? And so God tells us to break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Amen? And so God wants us to deal with what's growing in our spiritual gardens. So you're sowing. Whatever you do, you're sowing. And people are sowing into your life. That's why you've got to continue dealing with your issues. Otherwise, you're getting other stuff in your garden that you don't need. Had I not dealt with my stuff, I would have added bitterness and anger and hurt to my garden. And so, and I don't have not one negative thought toward my daughter-in-law. And I can say when I was repenting, I had a few negative thoughts. Amen? And so he says there's time to seek the Lord. Now, your garden's got good things represented by, I don't dare try to hit the pointer because I might hit the wrong thing. Oh, the red button. In the garden, there's good trees with good fruit growing. There's good fruit in this garden. Because there was a planting through the generations. There was a planting through, even in the womb, there was a sowing. If you were illegitimately conceived, you heard that you were a mistake. Babies can hear in the womb. So there was a planting in the womb. And then everything you've done in your lifetime has been a planting. And you're reaping through your children and people that you love the most. And everything that's been done to you, if you don't deal with all of these things at the cross, then there's a reaping of things that have been planted by other people. Like if you were molested and you never dealt with it. That thing has been reaping out even your children. If you've been molested and you don't deal with it, guess what? Your children will be molested too. We've had cases of that even, I believe, this weekend. And so there's good things in the garden, and these weeds represent the bad things. And here are some of the things in the garden that are growing. It's depression and fear and anger and bitterness and resentment and witchcraft and rebellion and sickness and sadness and a broken heart. And you could just go on and on and on. And that's the things. Perversion. You know, if you were trained up in perversion, perversion's growing in your garden. If your daddy looked at pornography and you never saw it, you never knew he looked at it, it was planting lust seeds in your heart. He didn't even have to know that he did that. Because the sins of the fathers pass on to the children in the third and fourth generation. We talked about the fathers yesterday morning, about how they lay the foundation for our lives. The generational iniquities of the forefathers. In Isaiah 61, it talks about raising up the former desolations of many generations. The ministry of Jesus is to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to give people beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they may be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And so, these are some of the things that are growing in the garden. If you plant corn, what you're going to get is corn. Is that right? Is that right? If you plant perversion, you're going to get perversion. The Bible says that what's in the heart comes out the mouth. The spiritual garden is the land that you have to possess. Your spiritual garden is the heart, which is the conscience, which is the soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. And that's the area of your life that has to be overcome, because the promises of God are to the overcomer. You know, if God showed us everything that was in our life at one time, we couldn't take it, could we? But He gives us a problem, our problems, and I've discovered that I go with the problem. Sometimes people come up and I'll say, how can I pray for you? And they'll say, I don't know. I'll say, what's your biggest problem? Because the biggest problem is what's got to go next. And see, as you take accountability for it, as you forgive those that planted the wrong kinds of seeds, as you break generational curses, then as you do that, that area is overcome and God plants something good. The minute you forgive, deliverance comes. Glory to God. It's not some big kind of hokey deal. See, the devil knows if he can get you into unforgiveness that he's got you. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Matthew 18 says you're turned over to the tormentors. Matthew 5 says if you're angry with your brother, you go into a spiritual prison and you stay there until you pay up the last cent, until you repent. And so what's in the heart, or the spiritual garden, will always come out the mouth. What's in the thought life is rooted in the heart. If you're always having perverted thoughts, then that tells me there's something growing in your garden. There's a seed of perverted, some kind of seed of perversion that has been planted in your spiritual garden, and it's producing evil thoughts. The Bible says out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. If you have bad dreams, or if you have a lot of fear, I can't tell you how many people that I have prayed deliverance over that just were just fearful, and it came in through watching horror movies. See, you're planting seeds of fear in your spiritual garden. And it comes up into your thought life. If you have any kind of thoughts come up in your mind, God tells us to take our thoughts captive. When I have a thought that comes into my mind, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, I kick it out immediately. And if it just don't want to go away, then I just keep on finding out why it won't go away. Because you can't take your thoughts captive until you find out what was planted in the heart. Years ago, when I was in college, I saw a movie that was called, what was that movie? A Love Affair to Remember. How many of you saw that song? Those of you who are older. That song, A Love Affair That Can Be Remembered, it was a story. Cary Grant was committing adultery with Grace Kelly in that movie. And I found myself taken up for the Grace Kelly when she was committing adultery and, you know, against the wife. That's sick. You know what I'm saying? We need to repent of that. And I did. But that song, A Love Affair to Remember, would go over and over. I'd hit that thing would come up into my spirit, and it would be like I'd be wanting to be singing that song. I said, Lord, I don't want that song in my heart. I knew that had been planted as a seed in my spiritual garden. And it would come up, I can't tell you how many times a day, because God wanted to get it out of my garden. And how I finally got it out is I said, Lord, every time the devil puts that song in my heart, I'm going to start worshiping you. And every time, if there's just one word of that song comes up, that just is my sign to start worshiping God. And it hardly ever happens anymore. But you see, the things that we plant, we sometimes don't get rid of them as easy as we think we do. Because there's reasons why they don't go. So what's in the heart, what's in the thought life, comes out of your spiritual garden, which is your heart, which is the land you have to possess, which is where your conscience, your mind, your will, and emotions are. If you do the little, you've seen the circles of the body and the soul and the spirit. The soul realm is the garden, and that's the part that we've got to possess. The Bible says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And so if you're fearful, there's a reason. Maybe your mother and daddy were fearful. Maybe it's a generational curse. Or maybe something horrible happened to you as a little child that would open you up to fear. Or if you're angry, that's linked to a hot wire that's linked to an idol. And you have to dismantle that. To get rid of the anger, you have to lay down the idol. When you lay down the idol, the anger leaves. And, you know, we think, well, we can have a little anger, it's okay. Anger is not acceptable. God gives you till sundown to deal with it. He says, be angry and sin not, which means don't let your anger turn into sin by going to bed on it. Every time you do, you've got a devil-demon problem. And, you know, anger comes in as little children. We don't every time a parent violates the word of God in training up a child, there's an automatic issue of anger, because God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline instruction of the Lord. So either they're brought up in the discipline instruction of the Lord, or they're provoked to anger. And so what happens is, little children, we don't know we can go to God. And it's because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. And so we don't know we can go to God, and what we do is we turn to a promise we make ourselves that when I get out of this house, life's going to be different, right? Wrong. Because that sets in motion forces for us to continue to reap in kind what has been sown. You see, how a child is trained up sets the default in his life. That's how he's trained at the factory, sets a default. And God wants to break those defaults as we forgive. God breaks those defaults, and then he changes it from a negative sowing to a righteous sowing. And so anger is rooted in idolatry, as fear is. And lust, if you have a lustful thoughts, that's come out of the heart. Somebody through molestation. You know, when somebody molests you or you have sexual sin outside of marriage, you get the demons of whoever you have sex with. So you have to break the soul ties, get rid of their familiar spirits, and lust can come in that way. Every person you ever have sex with outside of marriage, you've got their familiar spirits. And if you still, through a soul tie, still have them up inside of you, and if their hands were on you, their hands are still there till you forgive them. In the spirit realm, if we could see what we look like in the spirit, we'd see some of us would be having moth-eaten garments. Some of us would be spiritually naked. Some of us would have yokes around our neck, yokes of iron. Some of us would have moth-eaten garments. Some of us would have crowns on our head. The Bible says the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim is treading underfoot. Or the Bible says the prudent are crowned with knowledge. A prudent person is a person that sees the evil and he hides himself. He's walking a path, and he says, that path is not safe. That is not the way of righteousness. He goes the way of righteousness, and that's prudence. And the Bible says that a prudent are crowned with knowledge. That means the powers of darkness can see a crown of knowledge on your head. Hallelujah. And he can also see a proud crown of the drunkard of Ephraim. Also see a yoke of iron, or they can see the yoke of Jesus on your neck. And then if you're depressed, that's rooted in something. Maybe you're one of the roots for depression is not being trained up in the way you should go, not being disciplined. Mental illness is rooted in rebellion. The Bible says that parents are to use a rod on a child if he doesn't obey. And if, I used to have a ministry farm, and I'd have people that I would house that had mental problems and all kinds of perversion problems. And every one of those ones with mental problems, I would talk to their mother. Maybe the mother would have a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old wayward child that they were still enabling. I'd say, did you discipline your child? Well, I'm sorry to say I didn't. And you see, when a child's not disciplined, he hates himself. You should discipline, and you're to affirm them and to discipline them, because they're happy children when they're disciplined. And when they're not, the Bible says that in Proverbs 15, that whoever hates discipline, throws off, rejects discipline, hates himself. But whoever comes to God gains understanding. It's in Proverbs 15:32. So mental illness that could come down through generational sin, could come down through being molested. It could come down if the molester had depression, he imparted that to you through the sexual sin. Through a soul tie, you can have the addictions, you can have the familiar spirits, you can have the sicknesses of whoever you have a soul tie with. And a soul tie, you cannot see it with the naked eye. If you haven't heard of the message on soul ties, you can go into my website at www.abidinglifeministries.org, and there's a free CD you can listen to on soul ties. Also, they have them for sale over here, the CDs that I did here on soul ties. You know, pride has a root. Bible says Satan is king over all the sons of pride. And those are some of the things in the spiritual garden. Okay, and this is a picture of a person that don't take care of his garden. He's a lukewarm, saved by grace. He's put a stake there. Go to Proverbs 24, please. Proverbs 24, verse 30. It says, I passed by the field of a sluggard. That's a person that's lazy, won't work, the opposite of diligent. The scripture says in Proverbs, the diligent shall rule, but he who deals with a slack can shall be put to forced labor. It says, and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered over with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. If you've ever had a garden that didn't have a wall around it or a fence around it, then all the animals trample it, right, and eat the fruit of it. But this vineyard, it was trampled. It says, when I saw, I reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, not much, just a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come like a robber and your want like an armed man. So we have to constantly be diligent to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. Now that's a little different than the doctrine that's taught in church. You hear a lot about revival. You hear a lot about gold dust and feathers falling and revival and spiritual drunkenness, and all of those things are not a blessing but a curse. You hear a lot about those things, but you don't hear much about holiness today, unless you're listening to Dave Wilkerson or somebody of his caliber that's teaching you to be holy. I appreciated so much Pastor McCarroll's message last night. That was one of the best messages I've ever heard on repentance. And even Nathan's message was on repentance, and I'm sure Carla's was too. And I thank God for teaching me a little bit about repentance. I want to know more. There's a book that I ordered a few months back, and it was called A Time for Repentance. And if anybody wants that book, I might suggest to Glenn and them that they get it. My little repentance book is like a little drop in the bucket compared, just like a speck of dust compared to this lady. It's about this thick, and she's listed why you should repent, and she's listed every sin in the Old Testament and New Testament, sins of pride, and I've been repenting over every page. And it was about the time when God showed me about that I'd been fretful, but he healed a 70-year-old digestion problem in repenting. And plus my ears, I was doing the word studies on I scriptures, and I didn't think anything was wrong with my ears, but I listened to Bible tapes since 94. I play the word of God over my spiritual garden so that seeds of the word of God will be planted in me. And I've been repenting over every page of that book. And as I was repenting over the eye scriptures, I didn't know anything was wrong with my ears. As I've listened to Bible tapes since 1994, as loud as I'm talking, I listen to the Bible while I sleep at night. And I listen on 72. Well, 48 is what I listen on now. I thought, oh, I didn't even know anything was wrong with my ears. No telling what's going to get fixed next just through repentance. You see, every place you violate the Word of God, you've got a demon problem. And it's really not a demon problem, it's a God problem. Proverbs 17:11 says, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. And you could tie this in with Pastor McCarroll's message where it says in Psalms 41:10, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. Amen? If the devil's beating up on me, God's not pleased about something. And I've seen people just, you know, pray deliverance over people and just try to cast the demons out without dealing with their sin. And I'm telling you, it's like trying to shoo a bunch of buzzards off. The minute they walk away, the buzzards come back. But if you go down and dig up the roots, pull those things out by the roots, then the demons don't come back. But you got to get to the spiritual root. You got to get to the seed of what's been planted, either generationally, in the womb, since you've been born, by what you did or what others have done to you. You got to take all of that to the cross, and thank God he didn't show us all at one time, because we'd probably pass out. One thing at a time is enough, right? We're such sissies. We are wimps, spiritual wimps. But we're going to be mighty for God when he gets through with us. Amen? And so if you don't deal with it, it's kind of tangles, you get all entrapped by it. So God wants us to deal with our garden. He wants our garden to look like that, with good fruit in it. And people mirror what I've done and what other people, what I've done and what I've judged my mother and father for, that I haven't taken to the cross. If you're married, can I tell you 99% of what you can't stand about your mate is the same thing you couldn't stand about your mother or daddy. See, we think that marriage is to make us happy. You know what it is? It's to knock off the barnacles. Amen? But I'm telling you, I wish I'd have known this years ago. You know, I thought it was the turkey I was living with. And now I'm seeing... one day I was in the utility room. He was an extreme perfectionist. I mean, if you moved a chair, he'd be down there, you know, trying to straighten the carpet out where the chair made a dent. That used to irritate me the fire out of me. And you know what? I found out later after my husband died that my daddy was a perfectionist concerning me. My daddy nitpicked everything I did. I had two sisters that could rob a bank, and he'd have never said anything. But it was down to your fingernails. Get that red polish off your fingernails. I obeyed. Get that red polish off your fingernails. I'm not saying I won't wear red, okay? You look like a Jezebel. And see, in the early years, I'd have got my feelings hurt. I'd have cried all the way home. But as I've been dealing with the things I'm telling you about, when he said that, and other year I would go home crying because of the things that I love my daddy so much. I always wanted to please him so much. I guess he was hard on me because my sisters didn't care if they pleased him or not. But I always wanted to please him. And I'd cry all the way home. But when he said, "You look like a Jezebel, get that red polish off," I said, No. And see, I wasn't her. I said, "I'm not a Jezebel." I said, "You need to thank God that I live for the Lord. And that I'm a godly woman, not a Jezebel." And he shut up. And before, that would have been, I'd have cried all the way home. So when this is just a picture. People mirror what God's trying to change in you. There's something. And he's letting other people have mirrors too. And if it looks like a dog, that's what it is. Amen? Whatever you're seeing in somebody else, either you did it or you judge your mother and father for doing it. And you can have, if you're married, you can have a happier marriage if you'll just, those of you who are married, maybe you did like I did. I used to try to tell my husband what it'd take would make me happy. And he'd tell me what I needed to do to make him happy. Can y'all identify with that? And your idols are deaf, dumb, they don't see, they don't hear, they don't walk, they don't talk, they don't get it. Right? Because it's an idol. But now, hindsight, is I'd go into my prayer closet now and say, "Now, Lord, how did my daddy do this? Did my mother do it? Or did I judge them? Or did I do it? What are you trying to show me through this?" And you see, if you deal with your issues like that, I've discovered when you get the log out of your eye, you could care less if they have a speck in their eye. Usually the speck falls out of their eye. But either your perceptions, you change for sure. They might change. Your perception of them will change for sure. Or you could care less if they have a speck anymore. When you've got an unresolved issue in your conscience is not clear. You don't have confidence in God. When you get your conscience clear, then you not only have faith and trust in God, but you have freedom of speech. And you don't blow up and do it wrong. You can then, that frees you to speak the truth in love. Okay, stand up and ask the Lord to show you what pushes your button, what kind of seeds have been planted. I want you to look at the negative fruit that's growing in your life, things that are been hard for you, things that are that you're trying to overcome, things that you know need to go. And I want you to ask God what kind of seeds were planted. If your mother and daddy did the same thing, then you know it's a generational curse. If your mom and dad were sick with the same sickness you have, you know it was generational. Lord, in Jesus' name, pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Lord, show me what's been planted in my heart, how it got there, how it got planted, and show me, Lord, what I need to confess to uproot it in Jesus' name. And then just confess your sins, repent of whatever the Lord shows you, and then just sit down when you're through. I want to tell you, even medical is planting things in you. You could do it this way. What's the biggest problem in my life? And then when you get through, you can sit down, but don't sit down until you're through. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for everything that you've shown me. I forgive every person that has hurt me. I forgive my forefathers for sowing the wrong kinds of seed into my spiritual garden. Lord, I forgive my parents for everything I heard, and my grandparents for everything I heard them say when I was in the womb. I forgive every person who abused me, sexually molested me, touched me in an inappropriate way, and I forgive myself. And I break soul ties with my forefathers, with every person that I have sinned with or who sinned against me. In the name of Jesus, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve? Everybody pray, and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I ask you to break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, and Lord, I ask you to pluck up every seed of every experience that has caused there to be bad fruit growing in my spiritual garden. In the name of Jesus, I break soul ties with every person who's hurt me, abused me, spoke evil to me, touched me in an evil way, or any person I have done the same things to. I break soul ties with my forefathers and every person who abused them, every person they sinned with. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I command every demon, every familiar spirit, all hurt, bitterness, anger, hatred, murder, leave in Jesus' name. All depression has to go. Out, all blaming others, all spirits of blame, go. Guilt, shame, humiliation, embarrassment, discouragement has to go. Just cough it out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of pain in the name of Jesus. All spirits that came in through the lack of nurture has to go. All spirits of rebellion and pride and arrogance and haughtiness has to go in Jesus' name. Humiliation, self-pity, you have to go. All spirits of paralysis, numbness has to go. Adultery, fornication, bestiality, molestation. I break curses of incest all the way back to Adam and Eve. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of incest. All spirits of curses of illegitimacy, curses of the bastard, curses of abortion, I command you to go now. All spirits of crying, guilt, grief, you have to go. Death, sorrow, I speak life over them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of pain, sickliness, incurable diseases, I break off the yoke of iron. Lord, forgive me for being passive and not tending my spiritual garden. Forgive me, Lord, for being like Ephraim, tramping down my garden instead of plowing it up. Forgive me for not sowing with a view to righteousness. Lord, forgive me for my sin that has caused my deeds to return to me. Lord, forgive me for unforgiveness and torment toward people that have hurt me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all spirits of drunkenness and alcoholism and drug addiction and mental illness and depression has to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Leave them now in Jesus' name. You have to go in Jesus' name. Pride, haughtiness, blindness, macular degeneration of the eyes, cataracts, glaucoma, eye disease, cancer has to go. Spirits that have put their bones out of joint, dismayed their bones, sent fire into their bones, vexed their bones, go out now in Jesus' name. I break soul ties with any person that has touched them in an inappropriate way in the name of Jesus. All spirits of defilement, you have to go. Unclean spirits, you have to go. Addictions, compulsions, you have to go. Perfectionism, you have to go. Fear, I break your power. Terror, you have to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of terror and fear in Jesus' name. Jealousy, you have to go. Contention and strife, you have to leave in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. All spirits of lack of confidence and unworthiness has to go. You have to go. I break your power in Jesus' name. All spirits of uncertainty has to go. All spirits of numbness and paralysis, you have to go. All spirits of hardness and heart and shame, you have to go in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I break generational curses of alcoholism and sugar in the blood. You have to go. Diabetes, you have to go. Double-mindedness, you have to go. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Compromise, you have to go. Fear of authority, fear of confrontation, have to leave now in Jesus' name. Terrorized, you have to go. Trembling, you have to go. Trembling heart, failing eyes, despair of soul, you have to go in Jesus' name. Lord, I come under your yoke. It's light and easy. Lift your hands and ask God to yoke your neck. I cut off that yoke of iron off their neck through disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. Don't do your hands like this because that's resisting. Lord, I receive your yoke. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Now, all of this before I started was an act. No. It was like the Three Stooges, only there was just one. God bless you. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Okay, well, we've got 20 minutes, almost 25, to take a little break before the 3 o'clock meeting. Thank you, Kevin. Let's give Kevin a hand. He does all of this behind the scenes stuff. We appreciate you, Kevin. And if you've seen his fantastic garden down there, I'm telling you, it looks like that's something out of a magazine. Mine didn't look like that. And God wants us to keep our garden like Kevin's physical garden down there, just everything in order. Amen. God bless you. I love you, but God loves you more. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.